You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as we get you ready for the big Monday nighter this evening. And I'm not talking about the debate at Hofstra University. The Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints throw it down. The Saints are in a must-win situation. Since 1980, only five teams have gone 0-3 and went on to make the playoffs. Even if the Saints win tonight, they're not making the playoffs anyways, but you can say that their season is on the line this evening. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons, they can take control of first place. Steve Merrill will join us. We'll break it down. Paul Bovey will join me. We'll break it down. Jake Seeley will join me. We'll break it down. So we've got you covered. We've got a couple of handicappers, a couple of different opinions. You always got to get the second opinion. I'll give you my opinions. Then we've got Jake Seeley stepping up and in. We'll break down tonight's DFS contest, the Monday, Thursday angle. With the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals coming up on Thursday night. You know that tonight's game is the game to stack. Total 53.5 for tonight's game. Meanwhile, Thursday's contest, 44.5. You never know in the National Football League, do you? Although you know the Miami Dolphins are a shaky football team as survivor players yesterday having a heart attack, including yours truly, watching Ryan Tannehill repeatedly turn the ball over against the Cleveland Brown team that deserve better, but football is like life. There's nothing fair about it. It's a cold world in which we live in. All right, so we've got you covered. We're going to hit the debate tonight. We got some debate props, actually. It's a crazy world we're living in right now. I never thought we'd be breaking down prop bets like will one of the presidential candidates vomit on the stage this evening? Yet, if you think Hillary Clinton's going to puke, it's like 100-1. I don't think she's going to puke. She might choke. She might choke, but she's not going to puke. Steve Merrill's going to join us. We'll talk some debate as well as football with Steve Merrill. All right, it's a polarizing world that we're living in right now. We have the debate this evening. Most people either hate Clinton, they hate Trump, or they hate them both. They hate Colin Kaepernick and what he's doing and what he stands for, or they love Colin Kaepernick and what he's doing and what he stands for. And we see the Kaepernick protests now trickling down to the college football world, the high school world, hell, even the Pop Warner world as well. But there's one thing that unites us all, and that's football. Doesn't matter whether you're a redneck from the South or whether you're living in an inner city in the hood, you love football. Everybody loves football. Not everybody loves baseball. Not everybody loves hockey. You know, a lot of people love basketball, but everybody loves football. And we all have that in common. And if we all love football, we have something else in common. Somebody ruined our Sunday. And that's a fact. Whether you're a fantasy player, whether you're a gambler, or whether you're just a super fan, somebody probably ruined your Sunday. Who was it? Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Carson Palmer. It's Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals roll in to, what is it? It's no longer the Ralph, the new era. Well, it's good because the old era sucked in Buffalo. Maybe the new era will be better. As the Buffalo Bills beat down the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer was terrible. Arizona would have been better off with another USC quarterback like Cody Kessler throwing the football. This isn't an anomaly with Carson Palmer, all right? Carson Palmer didn't look good in the conference championship game last year. He really hasn't looked good at all this year, and he was freaking terrible. And of course, in the fantasy world, there's a residual effect, because if Carson Palmer sucks, then your Arizona Cardinal wide receivers suck. Dude completed 26 of 50 freaking passes, man. 50%, four turnovers. So Rex Ryan needed a win desperately, and he even said after the game, I don't know if anyone in the league needed to win as much as we did, and that is true. And if there's there's nothing worse than losing a sports bet, it sucks. You bet on a football game, it sucks. There's nothing worse than losing a sports bet when you bet against your favorite team. I rarely bet against the Buffalo Bills, extremely rarely, but when I do, I'm always bang on, man. I'm like Bob Vila on freaking steroids. Bang, bang, bang. I know when to pick on the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday, I got picked on. So Buffalo Bills come out of nowhere. I don't know. Like, I didn't even know who these guys are. Got wide receivers running around, you know, picking guys up out of the parking lot. Hey, I like the way you just slam your buddy through the table. You want to be the wide receiver today? Yeah, sure. You know, it's pretty crazy, though, that the Buffalo Bills light it up without Sammy Watkins. Makes you wonder what they would have done if they didn't trade up for him. But that's besides the point. Did Carson Palmer ruin your Sunday? He ruined mine. We can go down the list. Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers ruined your Sunday. Maybe Big Ben Roethlisberger thought he was in a great fantasy situation going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought, hey, if one of these teams going to be 3-0, it's not going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is lighting it up. Dude doesn't look like a rookie out there. He's just tearing it apart, extremely calm. Jim Schwartz has the Philadelphia Eagle defense flying around, knocking people's heads off. And when it's all said and done, Big Ben Roethlisberger, a complete freaking train wreck. They couldn't even complete a pass, let alone get a first down. You know, it's a complete train wreck. Somehow Antonio Brown racked up some fantasy numbers. But when it was all said and done, it was a train wreck. And the Pittsburgh Steelers ruined my Sunday. Maybe it was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, normally, I'd be happy because I've told you before, Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks, all right? He's terrible. He sucks. And if I hear one more freaking time that, oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's smart. He went to an Ivy League school, Jim. Yeah. You know who else went to an Ivy League school? George Bush. Is he smart? He went to an Ivy League school. Oh, yeah, he's real smart. The only thing smart about Ryan Fitzpatrick is that he's freaking fooled people into giving him tens of millions of dollars. The fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a multimillionaire and I'm standing here right now proves there is no God. It can't be. You know, like Jeffrey, like, seriously. I mean, all right. I'm sorry, God. I apologize. You know, normally I'd be happy about Ryan Fitzpatrick's crappiness. I don't like the Jets. I don't care about the Jets. And I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I had the New York Jets on a 10-point teaser. I would have been better off betting if Fitzpatrick's going to throw 10 interceptions. Nice to see that you're prepared after holding out for more money, jackass. How about you shave that stupid beard off, too? You're a little scrub off the field. Yeah, you're so smart. You suck, Fitzpatrick. 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You're horrible. You ruined my Sunday. I don't even like the Jets. Take the Jets on a 10-point teaser. Can't even win on a teaser. All right. As bad as Fitzpatrick was, at least he didn't hit himself in the face with a net like Odell Beckham did. And you know what? I'm not really sure. You know, I got to review the tape. I think Odell Beckham was crying. He was crying. The little baby was crying. You know, word was already out that Odell can get rattled. You know, I'm rattled because I freaking own this dude right now. And it looks like Sterling Shepard's a hell of a lot tougher than a baby that's crying on the side. Look at him, the ball, man. Oh, the net hit me in the face. You know what? I'm crying. Where are the touchdowns, Odell? Where are the touchdowns? Stop photobombing people. Start making some damn plays. Stop acting like a freaking 6-year-old. Odell Beckham, you ruined my Sunday as well. Sammy Watkins, you didn't play, but you ruined my Sunday as well. You've ruined fantasy leagues already. Who ruined your Sunday? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network. Yeah, I got to start preparing these intros a little bit better. I have all these other little, like, you know, one-liners and quirks that I want to get to, but it just becomes a battle of me not swearing. Like 13 times in that intro, I was like, mother, and I was like, no. Then I know you threw somebody under the bus, and I was like, no, that'd be bad right now. Like, it's like, I got to censor myself here. We're walking on a tightrope, especially when I get really angry. Sort of like the Hulk, you know what I mean? Like, if the Hulk gets angry, man, walls are going to get broken, you know? All right? Like I said, that was unbelievable. Like I said, there's nothing worse than, like, losing a bet. The only thing that's worse when you bet against your favorite team. And like, I wasn't even worried earlier. Like, I even thought, like, Arizona's going to come back. Buffalo will screw this up. And I was happy for Buffalo, but I was angry at myself the entire game. And, you know, it was one of these deals where it is what it is. Now, you know, everyone's going to jump on the Bills. Oh, the Bills are back. I'm getting tweets. The Bills are back. What do you mean they're back? Back from where? Like, what do you mean? They won one game. It's like Dallas Cowboys last night with Collinsworth and Michaels. Ah, GG, shucks, Al. I don't want to talk about a quarterback controversy, but there is a quarterback controversy here in Dallas. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? Because Dak Prescott, he's got a whopping 1-1 record at home now. You're right. You're gone, Romo. We got a guy that won one game. God, you know, we're going to do this on Unfiltered, actually, because I'm just mad right now. You know, Mikey, can't we always pick on Drew, cameraman over here? Our boy Mikey here. Is there a reason that Brett Favre's on a desk every day? If you want a real-life Brett Favre, like, he shouldn't be wearing pants. Should be like a little cell phone picture. He'd be taking a picture of his little package there, sending it to a little Jen Sturger. Yeah, let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What's up, Steve?
Put a Patriot uniform on that far figurine.
You know, it's unbelievable. I got a little Brett Favre up here. Like last week, I told him, I said, all right, Mike, I can justify because he's a Vikings. And the Vikings were on Monday night or whatever the hell it was, or Sunday. And like, every day I look down, I got Brett Favre here. He's been retired.
He might be the Patriots starting quarterback this week.
Yeah, he might be. That's funny. I see the everyone's going to love the Bills this week.
Yeah.
Again, because what happened, they're going to jump on that this week. But it's been a weird NFL. Yeah, I wanted to just finish my point as far as that's concerned, though, last night. You know, Al Michaels and Collinsworth spent 3 hours talking about how the Dallas Cowboys are the greatest, you know, they're better than Emmitt Smith, Dak Prescott. I'm the first one to push Dak Prescott. But now they're talking, Dak Prescott's like Troy Aikman, and I don't know about Romo anymore, and Romo's just like Danny White, but Dak Prescott could be the next Roger Staubach, and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's the greatest running back they've ever had. You know, man, it was sheer propaganda. Like, I don't know, is that like North Korean productions producing that stuff last night? Did Jerry Jones bring in Kim Jong-un's guys to produce the games?
I think Chris Collinsworth needs to do the next debate. Can you imagine if he was the moderator?
Yeah, him and Phil Simms, like.
Oh, God.
You know, Steve, you and I have been around a while. You notice these things. I noticed, like, the quality of announcing is awful nowadays. They run these old dudes out. Like, Vern Lundquist is retiring. They push Brent Musburger to the side a little bit. And, you know, you have all these clones, all these new dudes. They're awful. The college guys are just all cliches and terrible, and they ask stupid questions. Guys are, you know, asking the announcer, should I go for two here? It's like, hey, dumbass, they've already kicked the one while you're debating this. It's like as dumb as cable news is now. And the NFL, it drives me crazy, Steve. I noticed they don't talk about bad calls. Like, you know that's done by design. Yesterday, there was a suspect face mask. Guy in the Steelers is, like, adamant that he didn't do it. You know, would Simms and Nance and CBS show a replay of that? No. Do they talk about the bad call? No. They just move on and don't talk about it. It really is, like, insulting and propaganda now.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you really think about all the bad announcers, it's all the color commentators. All the announcers you and I like are the play-by-play guys. And Al Michaels is still solid. I've always liked him. He'll make the occasional gambling reference. Vern Lundquist was play-by-play. The problem's the color commentators. And I can't think of a single one I actually like. Herb Street's okay. I can tolerate him in college football. And Gruden actually has a ton of knowledge. He's kind of annoying to listen to on Monday night, but I actually think he's one of the few who knows what he's talking about as a former coach. But I'd almost like to see him just go play-by-play and get rid of the second announcer, just have a nice stream, you know, play-by-play call and none of the monkeys on the side there.
Yeah, you know what's funny, actually, Steve? I do my Sports Rage podcast at night, and you would figure that my viewership would be down during, like, a football game or, like, down, like, during a major sporting event. The bigger sporting event, the bigger viewers I get, and I do my own play-by-play, and people love it. It's crazy, right, man. People, like, I have more viewers than an average show. Like, tonight I'll have more viewers than normal, because there's a football game, and people prefer to hear me yell at my TV than Tirico and Gruden, or McDonough and Gruden now, whoever the hell it is.
Yeah, I like McDonough, actually. I think he always has a good sound, but once again, he's just a neutral play-by-play guy, and then you hear, you know, Chucky step in there, and he gets a little annoying at times.
Chucky's going to be fired up tonight with these quarterbacks. Chucky's fired up. Chucky's fired up.
Five people will hear him, and five people will hear him tonight.
Well, you know, it's funny, actually, Steve. Yeah, we're talking about announcers, because tonight will be one of those nights where, people will be watching, like, let's be honest, we'll be watching the game, but the sound of the debate will be up, right? Like, you know, and we'll see if I can get through the 90 minutes of the debate. Like, there should be a prop. Will I go to the bathroom first or Hillary Clinton first? Because, you know, people are going to mock her. We'll get to this in a second, but I might go to the bathroom every 90 minutes. I might need some of those pills that they hawk on CNN all the time. But football game tonight, Steve, real tough game tonight, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's very difficult to lay points with the Saints. They've been at a huge money burner the last couple of years. I feel like this is a franchise on the downturn, but I also feel like the Atlanta Falcons are a franchise heading in the wrong direction. I do a show every Friday morning in Atlanta, and when the season began a few weeks ago, you know, they were asking about my season win predictions for each of the NFC South teams, and I really told them I thought Tampa could be a team on the rise. I'm starting to have second thoughts about that, by the way. But I thought New Orleans was on the decline still, and I thought Atlanta could be on the decline. So these are kind of two play against teams for me. They were in a good spot last week against Oakland. You know, Oakland was off the straight up dog win in New Orleans, and then they were favored all of a sudden by 4.5. And the Raiders just aren't, you know, ready for primetime players yet. So I can understand how Atlanta came back last week. Hard to trust either one of these teams. And when that's the case, I think you can make a case for the underdog. 2.5. It was 3 earlier in the week. It's 2.5 in most spots, but it's back up to 3 -120. So very key number. If you like New Orleans, I'd take the 2.5 now. If you'd like Atlanta, I'd wait it out and try to get a +3.
You know what? I think you can make arguments and for and against both teams. Is Atlanta going to win back-to-back on the road? We should notice the 10th anniversary of the Hurricane Katrina game, Steve. You remember that Monday nighter when they reopened the stadium and Steve Gleason was honored. Steve Gleason's going to be there again tonight. And oh yeah, they beat the Falcons that night. Only three guys on the Saints were in that game, actually. Drew Brees being one of them. The Saints are in desperation mode tonight, Steve. I'm a little bit concerned about the injuries that they have. This is like really, I hate sitting on a fence, but I'm going to go with the home team only because, you know what? I think the Saints have actually played well this year, Steve. And like, I know over the years you've always been down on the Falcons, but like you coming into this year, I didn't think much of the Saints. I like the Raiders in week one, but if you look at the Saints, week one, their offense was great. Week two, their defense was great, yet their offense couldn't get it going. Their defense actually hasn't been a complete train wreck, and I got faith that Breeze can get it done tonight on their home field. I got more faith in Breeze than I do Ryan. Although, you know, if this game was on a Sunday afternoon, I probably wouldn't be betting it.
Yeah, same here. And I mean, if you look at the Saints also, you kind of feel like that offense is going to bounce back after only scoring 13 last week on the road. You know, that Raider game was a 34-35 shootout. And then the Falcons, on the other end, put up 24 and 35 in their two games, but they've given up 28 and 31 in those two games. So I think both offenses hold the edge, and we could definitely see some points. And this will probably go down to the wire. It'll be one of the best Monday night football games in history,
and nobody
will see it. You know, although the debate will be over probably right around, you know, the third quarter, so a lot of people might see the finish.
That's a great point, actually, Steve. I have this weird feeling, too. I know some of these games are trapped sometime. We would just automatically bet the over. I got a feeling tonight it's going to be one of those memorable nights, too. It's the debate. Something crazy is going to happen in the debate. Meanwhile, on an 88-yard punt return. Like, it's just going to be back and forth and crazy stuff. I know fantasy players are excited about tonight's game, but there's more negatives for both teams, Steve, than anything. The Superdome, anything but super. Saints have lost 10 of their last 14 games on this field. Meanwhile, the Falcons are 1-6 against the spread the last 7 times they played within a division. Like, we can go on. There's just negatives for both these teams.
Well, you can see why they're both play against teams for me coming into the season. I mean, they're both below average defensively. They're both aging on offense, and they're both on the downtrend. I don't feel like either one got better in the offseason. And New Orleans' bad home record leads to what I said earlier about them just being a terrible favorite the last couple years. years, and that's why it's tough to trust him tonight in that role.
All right, so let's jump into debate right now. I looked at the odds because it's interesting. This could be the first needle mover, the real needle mover. All this has just sort of been a dog and pony circus act leading up to this, but they're expecting upwards of 80 to 100 million people. Now they're talking about 100 million people watching tonight. This is huge. I remember the first debate last election. Barack was very flat. Mitt Romney was real good, but then Barack took it back in the second debate and just sort of, really dominant. It's an important debate for both of them this evening. Steve, I see generally Hillary's a minus 200 favorite right now. I see her as low as minus 170 at one of my books, actually. And it's crazy because about a month and a half ago, she was about minus 550. When Trump was bashing military families and the post-debate wasn't good for Trump, yet the distrust factor for Hillary and the trickle-down effect of the emails, it's unbelievable, man. Like, she can't pull away. She's like a 26-point favorite that's up by three right now, Steve. So this debate is huge tonight.
It's just like in-game betting in the football. Teams up by three or four touchdowns, that's when you want to look to take the big underdog, because what normally happens, they go into a prevent defense and the other team scores a touchdown or two. They get it down to 21 or down to 14. And then all of a sudden you can hedge back and get a better price the other way. And that's what we've seen happen in the election. Hillary was a huge favorite a couple months ago. She went into prevent defense mode the last couple months, and Trump has been chipping away at the lead. What I find interesting is the state-by-state look, because that's all that matters. This isn't a national election. The national polls mean nothing. It's literally 7 to 10 states that are going to decide this. Ohio, probably the most key. Florida, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Colorado, Virginia, North Carolina. Those are all key states. And Trump has actually taken the lead in some of those, including Ohio, where he's almost at 57% now in the betting odds. He was ahead in Florida a few weeks ago. Now he's about 47%. So it's closer than the overall general election odds would tell you. But you brought up a good point about four years ago. Obama was terrible in the first debate, if people remember. And then he came back in the second and third ones, did all right, and won the re-election. So we can't overreact too much to tonight. I heard one pundit last week say, whoever wins the debate Monday will win the election. I mean, that's not true at all. If anything, you might get better value going against the loser tonight in the election odds, because it'll probably move the market more than it should.
That's a good point. Yeah, this is just the first stage. This year, there's two debates, though, right, instead of the three.
I thought there were three, but I might be mistaken. Yeah, there's always been three in the past.
I thought there was two this year. I could be mistaken as well.
Yeah, but I don't know for sure. But I thought for sure there were three, but I can't get. I didn't look that up, though. I just assumed. By the way, Gabe,
the ratings. There's three. It's my bad.
Yeah, I'm almost sure.
Because that's right. Lester Holt tonight, Anderson Cooper, and Chris Matthews of Fox, or Chris Wallace of Fox, Chris Matthews of Fox. Chris.
Right, and there'll also be a vice presidential debate. By the way, the TV ratings, when we talked about this briefly on Friday, I thought it was on NBC since Lester Holt was doing it. It's on every network tonight.
Yeah.
So that's another reason the viewership is going to be so high, because anybody who watches anything on a regular network or on a Fox News or on CNBC, PBS, every one of them has a debate. So unless you're watching the Monday Night Football game, you're basically going to have it on by default.
All right. So it's funny. Somebody sent me a tweet saying, hey, Morency, what are the odds that Hillary Clinton collapses during a debate?
They got them.
Except, when I responded 25-1 within like 10 seconds, it blew his mind because he was just being fictitious. He didn't really think, we got odds for whether Hillary Clinton's going to collapse or not. So here's some interesting props for tonight. Hillary Clinton's health status at the debate. Will she sneeze? If you think she's going to sneeze on TV in the 90 minutes, you're going to get plus 400. If she has to go to the bathroom, that's going to be plus 587, and there are no bathroom breaks. If she leaves the debate early, 16-1, if she has a little emergency and she needs to split. If she collapses and faints, 25-1. Falls over, faints, falls over, both 24-1, 25-1. Needs to call a doctor, 33-1. And then throws up, Steve. Throws up is in the 100-1 range, 92-1 right now. And that's one of her big fears. Because if she starts coughing and she can't control it, it's going to be talked about immensely.
Yeah, I actually think a cough is a good bet for either one of them, because they're going 90 minutes straight with no commercial break. There's no commercials for this entire debate, which surprised me when I was reading the format. But one of the odds said coughing fit. So that's more than just a cough, obviously. So the other thing to keep in mind, those are all plus money, but they're not letting you take the other side of it. You can't lay 51-50 that she doesn't collapse, which is obviously pretty safe money. I'll tell you, I'll get to an underdog play I like real quick, though, before I forget. One of the sports books I looked at have all the different states that might be mentioned during the debate by either one. Ohio's minus money, some of the, you know, states like that. But Virginia is plus money, like plus 140. The no is like minus 180. I think there's a very good chance Virginia will be mentioned, not because it's a swing state, but because vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine is from Virginia. The odds on Tim Kaine being mentioned is actually minus 140 to the yes. If they mention Tim Kaine, especially Hillary, there's a very good chance she's going to say Virginia Governor Tim Kaine, or, you know, in Virginia, Tim Kaine did a good job. So I thought at plus money, that was a pretty good value play.
Interesting. All right, Steve, so before we get you out of here, here's one, whether what will Trump say about Hillary first? Will he call her Crooked Hillary, plus 150? Will he say she's a liar, plus 160? Well, he says she's an insider at plus 250. That one sounds actually not
that's
bad.
That's the one I like, Gabe. Yeah, that's the one I like.
Well, he says she's a bigot. plus 260. Trump's a big wuss, man. He talks big when people aren't around. But, like, he remember he used to talk about Fiorina about being ugly, but when she was next to him, all you're beautiful. So he's not going to call her racist. He could call her corrupt at 5-1. And then the big one, Steve, he could call her say she founded ISIS. Yeah. 10-1. You know, if this was odds with John McCain, that's another story. I'd take it. But no, Hillary, I don't think he's going to say 10-1 here on that one. Here's one, actually, Steve. How will they greet? Shaking hands is minus 300. Shake hands and kiss on the cheek, plus 250. Yeah, don't forget, man, they were at Trump's wedding. They do know each other, right? Like, do you think Trump goes in for a little peck on the cheek at plus 250?
That would be the only thing that would concern me. In a normal situation, there might be some value there. But the fact that she just said pneumonia and the fact that they've really been nasty with each other, I would say that's less likely here. Yeah, the shake hand, it might not even be that. Minus 300 might actually have some value there. And by the way, the Crooked Hillary stuff, we talked about this Friday. I think if he's smart, and he has been getting a little bit more, you know, conservative in his game plan recently with the new advisors, he might stay away from this whole Crooked Hillary thing, because I think that might turn off the independent swing voters he needs to get. One sports book has it at only 47% that even says Crooked Hillary during any time during the entire debate.
Steve Merrill, always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Never thought we'd be breaking down whether Hillary Clinton's going to collapse on stage or not, but we just did. You can also bet on will Trump tell Hillary to shut up at plus 250. That's not good enough odds. Like, for him to tell her to shut up, he won't do that. Will he mention Monica Lewinsky, plus 300? He's not going to mention Monica Lewinsky. That's just too sleazy even for Trump. Mention Jennifer Flowers? No. Plus 300. Will he tell Lester Holt to shut up? No. He'll tell Lester Holt. Trump's version of shut up is excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. That's his way of telling you to F off. Will Trump drop an F-bomb? 5-1, no. Will he storm off the stage during the debate at 8-1? He could. And will he lose his hairpiece? 50-1. It's real, baby. It'll always be real to me. Paul Bovey joins us next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey. Paul absolutely torched the books this week. And he was one of the rare ones, because all the trade websites that I'm reading are stating that the books had a very, very successful Sunday. It's kind of weird. I did well on Saturday with the college and then gave it back on Sunday. Very, very frustrating. Wasn't a complete disaster. Look, we gave you guys 8 picks. We went 3-4-1. But there were a couple of in-game bets that I made that didn't go my way. And as I stated off the top of the program, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that wasn't good like yesterday. That really did surprise me, especially with the Eagles off a short week like this. You know, the Eagles are soaring right now, man. But Joe Biden just said a couple hours ago they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. If that's not the kiss of death when Uncle Joe says you're going to win, I don't know what is. Let's bring in Paul Bovey. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, great, Gabe. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, congratulations on a great weekend. Paul, you lit it up.
It was a great weekend, but Gabe, you always want to strive for perfection, and unfortunately, the Florida Gators undermined that goal because it was an epic collapse. What were they up? 18 and a half on plus eight. I got the early number Sunday night. And then whatever fleeting hope I had at the end, we get a fair catch at the one-yard line. Second time that punt returner made a gaffe and tried to field a punt inside the five. It was crazy.
No, it was unbelievable. I had a piece of the Gators, too, and Tennessee had 38 unanswered points. They just absolutely erupted. Florida couldn't move the ball at all. The only thing to save me in that game, Paul, was that late touchdown. I had the Gators teased. So they got the backdoor teaser covered. But let's not live in the past. Let's take a look at tonight's game. The Falcons and the Saints. It's the 10th anniversary. Are you a sentimental player at all? The anniversaries, the retirements, the ceremonies, and those type of nights. Tonight is the 10th anniversary of that very, very emotional night when they played the first game back in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And incidentally, yes, indeed, it was against the same Atlanta Falcon team.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons have not fared well on Monday Night Football. I think they've lost 12 straight road games and one out of the last 15. I'm a little bit sentimental, but when it comes to my wallet, I try to divest myself of sentimentality and focus more on the financial end of it. So the Atlanta Falcons come in a short dog here, Gabe, and looking at past history, you got to feel as though you're not really getting what you should be.
Yeah, there's just not enough points. This is not anything but the lock of the century by any stretch of the imagination. We'll get to the total and whether Paul thinks that's the play here. And I just had Steve Merrill on earlier. We talked. You can make arguments against both teams. But you've got Atlanta playing the second back-to-back road games here. You have a desperate New Orleans Saint football team who are banged up in the secondary. But you know what, Paul? A lot of people, and I fell victim to this because last weekend's the Giants. I'm like, man, their secondary's already bad. And they're all banged up. Their starters are out. Yet it's almost like college football teams, right? When they're returning nine starters on defense, yeah, but they all sucked. Is it good news or bad news? Sometimes getting fresh bodies out there actually helps. And the Saints defense was very good last week up there in New Jersey against the Giants.
They were good, Gabe, but Eli Manning just has not gotten off this year. The Giants were terrible moving the ball in the preseason, and that just transcended right into the regular season. So I think they got a little bit of a pass there. Giants were better yesterday against a terrible Redskins defense. But you got to look at Matt Ryan. This year, so far, I mean, and I say so far because Ryan has a way of just disintegrating. He's 53 of 73, I believe, five touchdowns, one pick, 730 yards. So he's certainly been getting it done. He should be able to take advantage of this secondary here, and it's just going to be a matter of whether Drew Brees, minus need at wide receiver, can keep up.
Yeah, minus Snead. I think Michael Thomas has a big night tonight from a prop, if you can get him. I didn't see him listed in any books this morning. But from a fantasy perspective, we'll get to that with Jake Seeley in a couple of moments' time. Yeah, Matt Ryan's been great. He's got the best quarterback rating in the league, 121. It's unbelievable. Drew Brees is going to have to keep up here this evening. But the foul, one thing with Matt Ryan is he hasn't been the most consistent. The Falcons aren't a great road team. They won last week. They're not very good against division teams. 1-6 in the last seven. And I mentioned the Saints defense. I know they gave up a lot of points against the Raiders in week one. But surprisingly enough, Paul, this would surprise people. If you said over under with a bet here, the Saints have only given up one touchdown pass all season long. Which is pretty insane, actually, if you think about it, through two games.
Yeah, that is pretty surprising. I don't know that they're going to be able to maintain that tonight. In fact, if I could lay money on that and lay an insignificant number, I would certainly take
they'll probably give up three. They'll probably give up three tonight.
Yeah.
If not
yeah,
four. If not
well,
four.
I got Julian. Freeman may get a I was going to just say Freeman may get a rushing touchdown here or two, depending upon how close they get. But, Gabe, they got to get at least two.
I got Julio Jones scoring a touchdown tonight at minus 150. He scored a touchdown in both games already this year. I don't think the Saints, like you just said, I do think that Matt Ryan's going to throw three or four touchdown passes tonight, and I would expect that one of them, at least one of them, will be to Julio Jones. But I got a few props I like tonight. As far as the total is concerned, one thing that's a little alarming, a lot of times when you get these primetime games and there's just that assumption, this is going to be a track meet, there's no way this game doesn't go over the number. Those are the games that it doesn't. You get those 70-yard drives and then there's a turnover or a couple of field goals instead of sevens get put on the board. And in fact, in this series, it's 1-5-1 to the under the last six times they've played. But with all that being stated, the Saints are 5-0 to the over, their last five overall. I think this game does get there. I think it's going to be a wild game tonight.
I agree with you, Gabe. The problem is, without Snead in the lineup, it makes it a little bit dicey because, as you pointed out before, you got a rookie in the lineup now. Breeze may go to a shorter passing game, and that's where my prop comes in play. I'm going to take Ingram over the three catches. Atlanta's given up a lot of receptions to running backs. You look at the first two games, Doug Martin, five catches, and Latavius Murray, six. Since the beginning of last year, 112 catches to running backs. And Mark Ingram can catch the ball out of the backfield. You have to figure Breeze is going to have confidence in the guys that have performed for him. Started off a little slow this year, but three catches to me is an easy push and should be a win.
I like where you're going with that. I don't have it. I got 10 props, or I got about 7 props with picks coming up at the end of the show. That's not one of them, but I will put a play on that. I like that. Paul, we're getting the hook. We got to get out of here already. It's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you very much, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. All right, we take a quick break. Jake Seeley joins us next. We'll talk about Michael Thomas. I think he's a great. He's going to be in my lineup tonight. We'll put it that way. Jake Seeley joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. Jake Seeley joins us. Jake normally joins us via Skype, but we are live. Jake can only do it over the phone right now. But Jake's expertise is so damn good. We're like, yeah, that's okay. Bring Jake on anyways. Jake, it's always a pleasure. What's going on?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't want to take the appearance away from everybody else with my, great looking face, and everybody can't focus on what we're talking about. That's really what it was about.
Yeah, so what's the truth, dude? Did you dye your hair? Are you having a real bad hair day? You cut yourself shaving, Jake? What really happened?
that's the mystery. That's why I got to tune in next time to find out.
Yeah, I prefer, I'm glad I don't, I do a ton of radio hits. I'm glad they ain't on Skype because I'm on the couch sometimes in shorts. I've done them in the bathroom. I'm all over the place. But that's besides the point. All right, let's jump right in here. Monday, Thursday contest. I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying that people are going to be stacking tonight's players as opposed to Thursday's. Dolphins, Bengals on Thursday. Totals 44.5 points there. We got a total of 53.5. But you've got to get a guy, we've got to squeeze in somebody from Thursday's game. So we'll get to that. We'll jump in right away with the quarterbacks. Ryan, Ryan's got the best quarterback rating in the NFL so far this year at 121. A guy's got 5 TDs. Only one pick. Man, you got Drew Brees, 5 TDs, 0 picks, throw for 343 yards a game. Brees is 7,900, Ryan 74. Who's your quarterback tonight?
And it's Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees at home. The Saints are at home. And for somebody that's, nearing the end of his career and probably trying to hit as many records as he can, I think this is going to be a huge game tonight. Atlanta hasn't really done much to stop anybody so far. They made Jameis Winston look great. So I really think that Drew Brees is coming out of this game. I don't care what the situation with Willie Snead is. I think he's coming out of this game with 300 yards and 3 touchdowns anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. What about, does he come out of the game with 319.5 passing yards? I think he does. I think he gets into the 340s.
Yeah, I would take the over on that. I think, again, at home, coming off a disappointing showing against the Giants, where, you know, he still did pretty well. Just the touchdowns and the high end yardage wasn't there. So I'm thinking this is kind of similar to Aaron Rodgers. Is that you don't want the ticked off Aaron Rodgers? Well, you don't want the Drew Brees trying to bounce back and make a point at home. So I'm definitely taking the over.
Although, you know what? There's a prop out there, Jake. Matt Ryan, 312 and a half passing yards. I think that goes over as well. Saints giving up 336 passing yards a game, giving up 8.5 yards per passing attempt. That's pretty high. Let's talk about the running backs. Freeman's been a disappointment to league players so far this year. You know he's just going to go off eventually one of these games. $5,800 tonight. But yeah, you got Coleman at $4,500. You got Ingram at $5,900. Then we got Bernard at $4,700 and Hill at $4,100. How do you handle a running back situation for a Monday-Thursday contest?
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of people on Jeremy Hill, and I would almost say he's the chalk play out of all of these just after what happened last week. And if you see Jeremy Hill just runs it up the gut, and actually that's what you can do against Denver, I think he could have another nice game. But that matchup with Miami, I think Gio gets involved a little bit more than we do. So if you're looking to be contrarian, I'm actually going with Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's been extremely productive on a first-snap basis, just the fact that he's not getting the last snaps and touches. So if you're buying to the Saints coming out of this game, scoring 30, 40 points, Ingram's going to have his best game of the season. That would be the contrarian pick. I think Hill's the chalk, and probably I'd want to avoid the Atlanta backfield. I do think Freeman, like you said, I think he's the lead and the better option between the two, but this could be another game like week one where it just ends up being more of Tevin Coleman. I just want to put myself in that position. So it would come down to Hill or Ingram for me.
Yeah, we just had a guest on that actually likes Ingram to go to get more than three catches tonight out of the backfield. And the Falcons can be run on, man. They give up 4.6 per run, which is, you know, higher, a lot higher than the league average. All right, wide receivers. This is one of the, you know, it's funny, we've had a lot of not so glamorous primetime games as opposed to, you know, last week with the Eagles and the Bears. Now, you know, we got a lot of glamorous wide receivers on tap here. $9,500. Is Julio Jones somebody you have to have in your contest, or is $9,500 too much? Because it's a big drop off after that to Green at 85, and then after that, you know, with Brandon Cooks, etc. How do you, Cooks is 7,900. How do you handle, and then we'll get to the Snead Thomas stuff, but how do you handle the star wide receivers? And oh, yeah, AJ Green as well. How do you handle the star wide receivers, Jake?
If this is another one. If you're going chalk, it's Brandon Cooks. With no Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks should come out of this game with a huge night. I would be surprised if it's not, we're talking about 120 yards and two touchdowns at a Brandon Cooks, because if we're going to say Drew Brees is going over on the yardage and he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns and you have no Willie Snead, I know other people can step up and we'll get to him, but Brandon Cooks is going to have, it's just a trickle-down effect. You're predicting that, then Brandon Cooks has to have a huge part of that. If you're not going with him, I'm not paying that for Julio Jones. I don't think he's 100%. Even if 90% Julio Jones is still better than the majority of the league, but asking me to pay that kind of price for Julio, who might not be 100%, I'm not doing that. And actually, if you want to go off and go for that Thursday night game, AJ Green against that Miami secondary, Byron Maxwell has not been that good so far. Xavien Howard's been kind of so far. So this is one of those games where AJ Green could have, similar to that, he could have one of those 150-yard, one touchdown games with this matchup.
Yeah, and if we're looking for a bargain, and we'll get to the same wide receivers, but if you're looking for a, because if you want to get involved with the Falcons passing attack, but $9,500 is a lot, especially when you're going to have other productive guys that you can get for thousands of dollars cheaper. But if you want a little bit of exposure to the Falcons passing attack, how about Jake Tammy? $3,200. It's been a bargain so far for the price. 11 catches on 14 targets, and he could be an impact tonight.
I really like Tammy tonight, especially with that PPR scoring. Obviously, the contrarian pick would be for $100 more to go with Kobe Fleener for him to show up for the first time.
Yeah.
Basically, if Kobe Fleener doesn't show up tonight, don't ever use him again. Cut him in your seasonal.
But you know they're doing that, Jake. And Drew Livingston's, Fleener goes off tonight. I'm like, yeah, people say that every week. And Tammy's actually been productive. Matt Ryan's throwing to him, man. I mean, it's not a fluke. It's not one game. 14 targets in two games. Tammy's going to end up with 5-6 catches tonight.
If you're playing the Monday, Thursday only, there's, in my opinion, Tammy is the only tight end you can go with.
Yeah, and I know, like you said, too, but people are going to, they're going to go for Fleener because the preseason hype with Fleener. All right, let's get to a guy that I think we both agree on here. And, you know, it's very interesting because I got Willie Snead on one of my teams, but it's the same team with Sammy Watkins that I have. I got issues, shit. So I grabbed Michael Thomas. Yeah, he was just sitting there one night. It was like 3 a.m. He was a free agent. I'm like, you know what? That Michael Thomas can make plays, actually. If somebody gets hurt on the Saints, boom, here it is tonight. I think Michael Thomas goes off tonight. This kid, I don't know if people realize this guy, 11 targets, he's caught 10 of the balls. The coaches love him. Breeze love him. They say he runs the routes. He's just got to get into the rotation and earn his stripes. With Willie Snead being out tonight and this soft Falcons secondary, I think Michael Thomas has a coming out party tonight.
I'm with you there. I said coming out of college. The reason I liked him so much is because he was one of the best route runners in this class, and he's not overly athletic. He's not in the Julio Jones or the Odell Beckhams of the world, but the reason he was going to succeed at the NFL level is because he runs routes almost better than anybody else coming out of this class, and he gets away from the defenders, and he runs that kind of slot flanker role, which is what, guess what, Marcus Colston was doing for this team for years. So this is part of the reason I didn't like Kobe Fleener, is because he's absorbing the middle of the field, and he's absorbing those red zone looks that Drew Brees loves doing with Marcus Colston, who used to be there. So if you're looking at somebody who's going to step up tonight, I don't see it. For $4,200, I do not see how you don't put him in your lineup. I know this is chalk, but when you're playing Monday, Thursday night, you're going to have some chalk players. Michael Thomas needs to start. Basically, your first player in your lineup needs to be Michael Thomas, and then you just work from there.
We only got about 90 seconds, maybe a little less. What about Sanu? Stab on him tonight at all?
I like Sanu. I've been a big fan. I think he complements this offense perfectly. I'm a little concerned of him not being 100% after last week. And actually, for $500 less, Devontae Parker in the matchup against Cincinnati, is he seeing Pac-Man Jones? Pac-Man Jones has been torched so far this year. I think Devontae Parker is going to be a really nice play on Thursday night.
You know who I like tonight, too, is Coleman. Tevin Coleman at $4,500. But, you know, I'm looking more at a betting prop. I see his total rushing and receiving yards for Tevin Coleman, 68.5 tonight, Jay. I think he can get that. We're seeing, man, he's getting about 15, 20 touches a game. He's going to be involved tonight. There's going to be a lot of offensive plays called. They're going to be out there. It's going to be a track meet. As you talked about, somebody's got to get the ball. You know, Freeman's been a disappointment, but Coleman's been a surprise.
Yeah, give me the over on that. Basically, I put a lot of money on all the overs tonight. It's the same.
I know.
The Giants and the Saints, I'm losing money here.
Yeah, you and me both, Jake. I'm going to be in a lot of freaking trouble, brother. If this turns into a 16-14 game, I don't know if we'll be talking again, Jake, but it's always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks.
It was Jake Seeley. We'll just take a quick break. Come back with our plays of the day. All right, it's time for a Monday night football plays of the day. If this game doesn't go over, then yours truly is over. So let's get started here. Like, we're going to take the Saints. I'm not in love with it, but it's kind of a toss-up, but I think the Saints are going to pull it out. They're a desperate football team. I think it is going to be a higher scoring game this evening. Surprisingly enough, it's 1-5-1 to the under the last 7 times they played. Not tonight. It turns into a track meet. Saints, going to be a close game, so give me a tease to the over. Love these props, man. These quarterbacks are going to kill it tonight. Over under 24.5 completions. Matt Ryan over. Let's go over 312.5 passing yards for Matt Ryan. Drew Brees over 27.5 completions. Drew Brees over 319.5 passing yards. I like Tevin Coleman. Over. All he's got to do is get over 68.5 rushing and receiving yards. Will Julio Jones score a touchdown? Yes, he will. -150. Got touchdowns in both games this year. Got to take the long field goal. It's only 43.5, but these two teams don't kick a lot of field goals, but we're going to take it anyways. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.